Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we've been talking today about the Spirit of. Just the Spirit of. Spirit of what? In the Bible, if you look up the phrase Spirit of, and you'll see the Spirit of Egypt, and the Spirit of Nimrod, and the Spirit of different kings, and the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of jealousy, and the Spirit of, actually the Spirit of creatures that are inside of what appears to be machinery even. And if you go to Ezekiel, you will see in verses in chapter 1, verses 20, that talks about a spirit of something that has wings, four wings, two in the front and two in the back, and it rolls around on wheels, and it has a crystalline dome on top and a man inside, and when it goes up into the air, it the wheels go up into its belly, and then it talks about when it goes by, it makes the sound of many waters, you know, kind of noise, and you, when you look up into its tail, you see fire inside of it. And people have referenced that, and he talks about four other spirits. That's one spirit. And they reference that Ezekiel was taken up in body and spirit 600 years before Christ and taken to a place where he saw these spirits. And he was talking about end times and all this stuff. Living creatures, he talks about. Spirit of the living creatures. And of course, this is the translation to the Hebrew, and you can look at creatures, creations, living creations, moving, animated creations, spirit of, and the spirit of what was in that creation was in the man inside under the crystalline dome. And people equate this with a jet fighter. Crystalline dome on top, man inside, wheels underneath, go up into the belly when it goes up in the air, and they do films and they recite these verses along with the other verses that describe what appears to be something, you know, that an ox that carries huge amounts, could be trucks, and then there's this other thing that spits fire and roars like a lion, and that's supposed to be a tank, and maybe it is by the description, but he talks about something living in these things, a spirit living in these things, animating these things. And of course, if there's a man inside these things, they're animating. Even if they're drones flying over, you know, we hear a lot in the news about drones that go over and assassinate people and watch people and stuff, these drones. But even those drones are sent out by a spirit of a man. Some man has created this thing and sent it out to do his bidding. What is his bidding? The spirit of what is it that is in these things? And we talked a little bit about the power of spirit and the power of the spirit to create good or evil, because there are evil spirits and there are good spirits. And so when people talk about the power within, what power is within us? What is the spirit of the power that is within us? I mean, you obviously, you know, if you have a jet fighter and it goes up and it's defending your nation, great. But there are other nations out there and their jet fighters go up and attack this nation. And we send jet fighters up to attack that nation. And so what's the spirit that's moving these things about in the creation of the world around us as we see it? Is it Melech? Is it a good spirit? Is it a bad spirit? It's the spirit that rules the creations of men. And of course, you know, we've talked before about the Golan. The Golan is a creature that's made out of clay, and you give it life by putting the word truth in its mouth, and it goes around and does your bidding. And we've shown how in the ancient Hebrew language, you know, they see this and they talk about the Golan. They've even made movies about this clay creature that is like a monster, looks like a man, it goes around and does the things of a man. But it has no life of its own and it cannot be killed. And then the way to kill it is that you change the word truth by taking away one of the letters. But what it really was all about in the original language was creating a corporation. And in the United States, a corporation is a person. It's actually treated as a person. It is given a status as a person. And it goes about the world and does the bidding of the spirits in the men who created the corporation. And the power in that corporation is the power that is in those men. And it is an instrument of those men, the same as a machine might be an instrument of a man. And of course, there's been a lot of talk about gun control, and people say, well, guns don't kill people, people kill people. That guns, and you know, every, what do they call them, assault rifles, they're not really assault rifle. An assault rifle is a fully automatic rifle, but what they're calling assault rifles, misidentifying them, is, you know, these rifles that can shoot multiple rounds. And you know, they're not automatic, they're semi-automatic. But someone pointed out that every assault weapon is also an anti-assault weapon, depending on who has it. It's the spirit of the man that is holding it that makes the difference, that manipulates the machine. And government is referred to as a machine. We talk about the, you know, the machinery, the political machine. And so it's a machine too, but it's a different kind of creature. It may have wires and telephone communications and lights and computers, but it's a, we call it a political machine, but it also has people. And these people move according to the spirit of those people who hired them and direct them, etc. And of course, we know that in Germany at one time, there was a political machine that seized power and did lots of bad things. Worse things were done by our allies, such as the Russians. They killed way more people than the Germans killed, of their own people. And, you know, they had their gulags and their prison camps and stuff like that. But we didn't get enough film from those. But, you know, the Road of Bones and all that stuff. And the spirit that moved through that political machine murdered tens of millions of people. Tens of millions of people. And we can go back in history. 60 million people died during the Inquisitions. And many of those children. And there was an Inquisition in America against the American Indian. And of course, there were American Indians killing white people, but there were also wrongful deaths of Indians. You know, innocent men, women, and children that were murdered because a certain spirit took over the hearts and minds of people, and they did atrocities in America and the Soviet Union and Germany, France. I mean, the German prisoners in France were terribly, terribly mistreated. Way more died than should have died. If you go look at statistics of prisoners in the Allied hands, it was inhuman what they did. And unfortunately, there were Americans that were there sometimes with a better spirit, a more righteous spirit, and they prevented a lot of those atrocities. But war breeds atrocities. It's not, you know, the French or the Russians or the Germans. You may find one more atrocity. Japan was doing the same thing. China would have done the same thing. They did it in Korea. They did it everywhere. War breeds atrocity because there's a certain spirit that grows and develops in war, in hard times, and in depressions, in economic collapses. Fear breeds certain spirits in people. So why we were talking about spirits of is because the spirit that you let into your heart is going to make a difference as to what you do. You're a machine. You're a piece of equipment, a biological unit, a carbon-based unit. You have wires. We call it nervous system. You have plumbing. You have structure, skeletal structure. You have a digestive system. And we talked earlier about, just briefly touched on the fact that, you know, you have all these different parts in your body, the liver and the kidney and your digestive system. And, you know, when a thought gets into your mind, people say, well, I have to digest that for a while. You know, I have to chew on that a while. We use these metaphors of chew on and digest that thought. And, you know, and I pointed out in ancient languages, you know, such as to honor your father and your mother, the word there that is honor is the same word for liver. And they had another word for control or reins is the same word for kidney. And they equated different parts of your body with certain characteristics. And the fact is that every single part of your body also is connected to your brain. And so that what you're digesting in your mind, what you're thinking about in your mind, will actually affect the digestion of your body. I mean, if you're worried, I mean, cancer doctors admit that trauma and worry and anxiety are bad for your health. And that when you're at peace and when you're calm and when you're not in a traumatic state, emotional state, that your health will improve. Because what goes on in your brain affects what goes on in your body. And what goes on in your brain and your body affects what goes on in your family. And what goes on in your family affects your neighborhood. And we live in a universe of cause and effect. And the fact is that all that goes on in you is the result of the spirit that dwelleth in you. So what is this spirit? You know, if you're envious and you have the spirit of anger and the spirit of judgment and the spirit of envy, these will affect your thinking. They will make you make different decisions. And those decisions will affect you, your body physically, and affect your family physically. And then also it may affect the conditions around about you, such as when you go into debt. It creates more worry, more frustration. And so everything goes back to the spirit by which you live. And we talk about virtue. And Christ supposedly, when he healed this one lady, she just touched the hem of his garment and felt the virtue go out of him and go into her. What is that virtue? That is the engram, the computer printout of the virtue that's in you, of the character that's in you, of the spirit that's in you. And that's why very first place they talk in the Bible about the spirit of something. They're talking about the spirit of jealousy. The spirit of God, how is that different than the spirit of jealousy or the spirit of envy or the spirit of anger or resentment or selfishness, a selfish spirit? And they talk in the Bible about a familiar spirit. Well, what spirit is familiar with you? What spirit is compatible with you? You personally. Who you really are. Do you know who you really are? I always talk about kids who are homeschooled. You know, they're raised around their family. And who are they really? Well, they only have one choice to decide who they are and how much of their family is really a part of them. In the character of their family. But when they go to school, they have one personality for their friends, another personality for their parents, another personality for their teachers. And it's no wonder they don't know who they are when they finally leave school. And so finding out who you are, what you really believe, where you're really at, life shows us this. We make choices in our life according to the spirit that dwelleth in us. If you are envious and angry and judgmental, you will make certain choices. If you are forgiving and charitable and kind, you will make certain choices. If you are willing to see the truth about yourself, that will influence the way in which you are generous and kind. Because sometimes it's not kind to give somebody something. Sometimes it's kind to say, no, you can't have that. We see that with spoiled children. The parents give them free rein. They let them do what they want. It's a bad thing. They need to bring discipline. A child wants discipline, but he wants righteous discipline. And when you bring that spirit to your children, they will sense that. They will know that. They may groan a little bit. They may whine. But when it's really the spirit of love, doing the same thing that somebody else is doing, not from love, but from, you know, I'm just tired, I'm fed up, I'm angry, I'm selfish, a different message will come across. A different wiring of their own spirit, of their own machinery. So anyway, we talked about these. It says, as the beast goeth down into the valley, the spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. So didst thou lead thy people to make thyself a glorious name. Well, they talk about the beast. Do you have the spirit of the beast? What is the beast? The beast is a creature that devoureth who he wills. And that was in Isaiah 63:14. And before that, somebody had written in a chat room when we were doing one program and wanted me to talk about men like trees, because there's a place where a blind man who's blind since birth is given sight, and he said, I saw men like trees. In other words, he saw from a distance that men were standing upright like trees, and he could see that with his eyes, or at least that's the first way he described it. But instead of talking about that, I had already, before the show even began, I had just done this random search in the Bible and copied down a few quotes, and one of them was Isaiah 61:3, and there was actually another one, Isaiah 47, and in 47 it says, the grass wherewith the flower fadeth because of the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it, surely the people is grass. And then we see it elsewhere where it talks about the grass burning up and dying, because grass is not as strong as trees. But in 61:3 he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and it's actually the spirit of burden, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And that's what we, you know, what spirit is in us? If it's the spirit of selfishness and judgment and envy and jealousy, we will not be trees of righteousness. But he will give us the other spirit. It comes from God. And we become these trees of righteousness. And why mention all this? Because there are other spirits around about us, that we see them in people, whether you see actual spiritual creatures roaming about your house or something, and some people claim they do see those things. I don't see entities, but I see the evidence of the spirits that is evil moving in some people. Where did it come from? How did it get into them? How did it manifest itself in them? How did it find a place to dwell in them? Why does anger live in you? Why does selfishness live in you? Sometimes you can't help it. You're just, they make me so mad, people say. How do they give you the spirit of anger? How does that get in you? Oftentimes these spirits are in you already. They got into you when you were a small child, and they're magnified in your life. You know, some people just seem to be angry all the time, or quick to get angry. And it's because certain spirits have gotten into them. How do they get into them? Well, they get into them by trauma. The same as, you know, how did this dagger get into you? So somebody stabbed you, and that's how the dagger got into you. And that's how the spirits get into you, is somebody traumatizes you. They injure you. They brutalize you. You're molested, or you're cheated, or you're betrayed. But if that happens, how come you don't just heal? How come it affects you so long term? It's because you don't heal. And why don't you heal? Because you don't take the dagger out. You don't push, you know, you have a sliver. The body wants to push that sliver out. Sometimes the skin heals over and the sliver's still there. And then somebody has to pick at the skin until they open it up again and get the sliver out. Well, what's happened is that as you were growing up, evil betrayed you. Evil in other people betrayed you. And their spirits got into you. Now, who's in the pilot's seat? You see how I'm equating this all back to who's running your ship? Who's driving your car? Who's operating your vehicle? You live in a vehicle. We call that your body. And your spirit lives in there. But is it alone? Or is it the spirit of God? Or is it another spirit? A spirit of evil. A spirit of selfishness. And it does get into you because it injures you. It brutalizes you. But it stays in you because you don't forgive it. If you interact with it, if you, you know, hate this, if you judge it and angry with it, and impatient with it, it begins to dwell in you and it begins to affect you. Every time people talk about pushing buttons. They push buttons. Why do you have buttons? These are soft spots where somebody says something, says a word, says an idea, and it was a trauma to you at one time. Something related to it was a trauma, and it's still sore. I actually have a sore rib. I threw a rib out trying to move something that was should have got a bigger cheater bar instead of pushing on it with my chest, and I popped a rib out. And now it's very sore to the touch. It's getting better. It's healing up. But now other muscles around it are stiff because of compensation. But the fact is that it is healing up, but it's very sore to the touch. And it's like if you touch that, ow, it's like that button. And we do that with many things, ideas, words, where somebody says a word and it pushes a button and it conjures up an emotional reaction in you. And, you know, like people say, they make me so mad. Well, then they're your masters. They have power over you. They can make you mad. Or how about this? They make me happy. If those people are the source of your happiness, they can also make you mad. All they have to do is withdraw their attention, say something contrary to what you would normally expect, and they can make you sad because your happiness is coming from them. You're interacting with them in a way that you're getting something from them. You're getting your happiness from them. Do you know that in your natural state, you get your happiness from the tree of life? Whatever the tree of life is, what is that? Is that a thing? Is that an actual tree? Does that look like an apple tree? Does it have blossoms? No, the tree of life is a source of life that is available to everybody within you. Kingdom of heaven is within you. Look within you. You know, one of the quotes that I was quoting earlier in the show, I don't know if I can, it wasn't in this show, but yeah, it's Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. And it's just talking about looking within you, and in the translation it comes out belly. You don't actually take a candle into your stomach, but it's talking about within you. The kingdom of heaven was in you, the spirit of life is in you, Spirit of God is in you, but there are also other spirits that have gotten into you because you've been traumatized and you did not forgive. This is why Christ makes it so important to forgive, so that you may be forgiven, that we may heal over, we may purge out that evil that has gotten into you by evil traumatizing, wanting to make you mad. I think I said on one of the earlier programs last week that let me tell you the story about Billy Budd, and then we went to the break, and I never told you the story about Billy Budd. And maybe we can do that before we go to the break. Billy Budd, old novel, kind of an interesting book. It has, you know, Captain Beer in it and Claggett and different characters, but they have Billy Budd. And Billy Budd is this picture-perfect seaman, loved by everybody. He's hardworking, he's industrious, he's honorable. And everybody likes him. They just can't help it. And he's impressed into service during the time when England could impress an American into service. And he's this guy that everybody likes. Except for Claggett, runs, who's like the first mate. He runs things, or bosun's mate. I can't even remember now. But he runs things down there with the men. And he does it by, you know, kind of fist to cuff and make them mad and make them loyal and make them do. And I've seen that when I was in the military, that there would be guys who just try to upset you, because then they would get control. And they would get you back down, and they get you in the habit of backing down, and then they could get you to do more and more things until you were doing things that were you would not have normally done, but you'll do them because you've created this pattern of obedience. And they start small and they work their way up. It's a typical thing that's used in armies where it's top-down authority. You know, the armies of Israel was bottom-up. It wasn't top-down. Different, whole different spirit operating in those original armies of Israel. I mean, not the present Israel, but the ancient Israel before they became a kingdom. When they operated entirely, an entire governmental system operated by free will offerings and a voluntary army that received no pay or pension. And they beat all comers. How did they do that? Different spirit operating through them. But anyway, this idea of looking within you and what spirit is living in you and dwelling in you, and other spirits getting in you because they traumatize you, they violate you, and then you don't forgive them, and then they form a connection. It's like that sliver. They've got a piece of their DNA stuck in you. Their unvirtuous, incomplete, viral DNA stuck in you. And you will find yourself being like that which made you so unhappy. And anyway, and Billy Budd, real quick, he was really good, and Claggett hated him because he was so good. He couldn't make this guy mad. And finally, but he had one problem. He stuttered. He couldn't speak without stuttering. And the more emotional he got, the more he stuttered. And Claggett accused him of mutiny in front of Captain Veer, and just kept mocking him and accusing him of this unrighteously, unfairly. And Billy wanted to say something, and he couldn't say it, and he couldn't find the words. And the guy just kept taunting him and taunting him and taunting him. Finally, Billy Budd struck him, hit him, and he fell down, and Claggett died. But he died with a smile on his face because he won. He got him angry. And evil wants to make you angry. It wants to make you the antithesis, not the antithesis, but the other side of anger, which is fearful. And those things will make you a slave, and many more things like that. And we'll talk about that. So that how do you get rid of those evil spirits that get in you, the influence of that spirit that gets in you and dwells in you and runs you and manipulates your thinking? And then how do you get a spirit in that will give you life and give your family life and give your nation life? And we'll talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, well, welcome back. And we're talking about the spirit of, and what is the spirit of in you? And that's one of the complex things of mankind, is the fact that the more than one spirit can be influencing his life from moment to moment and day to day. And the fact is, some of those spirits are rather malevolent, and some of them are benevolent and give life. And you want to get rid of the ones that take life away and suck life out of you and suck life out of the others around you and bring disease. And you want to fill your life and fill your body, your temple. We call it the temple of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's the way it's referenced in these languages of metaphor. You want to fill it with life. You want to fill it with light. You want to fill it with righteousness. And so we talk about virtue and we talk about vice. Vice would be over here on the side of the equation of something less than virtue, or the antithesis of virtue. So anyway, we're reading a number of these different quotes that talk about the spirit of in the Bible on earlier shows. And we went in through Daniel and different. And Hosea says, "My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a-whoring from under their God." And this is a problem that has gone on from the beginning of time, is that men have looked to something else. They've tried to have a relationship with something else that looked more enticing, more suitable to them, a different spirit, and it has brought them into a great deal of trouble and great deal of destruction. Hosea comes on and says they will not frame their doing to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. So what they're saying is that because of their relationship with this seductive, wicked spirit of error, that they can't even see the solution. They can't even be aware of it. They are blinded to it. And this is why you have these metaphors of the blind leading the blind. Because they think it's okay to covet, they are blinded. Because they think it's okay to rule over other people for your benefit, they are blinded. And they cannot even see the real answer that's right there in front of them that has been successful in societies that have gone that way. And the amazing thing is today, with all the knowledge we have, the knowledge of such societies that were effectively operating through faith, hope, and charity is completely blotted out of our thinking. So the only way we would know about it is that something awakens in us and realizes that if we don't forgive, neither will we be forgiven. If we do not give, we should not expect anybody to give to us. If we are not charitable, why would we be recipients of charity? And see, the nations of the world says, you don't need charity. We can force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And so a whole different spirit comes in and you become a part of a machinery that is going a different way than these ancient free societies that were very successful for many, many, many years. And Micah says, O thou that are named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straightened? And of course, straightened, what does it mean? Are you on track with it? And of course, that's what John the Baptist starts with, is he's speaking about seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and make straight the way of the Lord. Come into uniformity with the way of the Lord. And the way of the Lord is to give life, not take it away. To be unselfish, not selfish. To be of service, not demand to be served. It says, are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Are we walking uprightly? Well, the fact is almost nobody does, but every time you do and you come face to face with the desire to be lazy or slothful or greedy, you bring light to the situation and you become more aligned and something else gets under your skin. See, what's happened now is selfishness has gotten under your skin because someone was selfish with you. Covetousness has gotten under your skin because someone else was covetous to you. And you've become mixed up in a relationship that is not conducive to liberty. And so you see the liberties slipping away from you and you say, oh, well, I have to do something. I have to get my liberty back. Well, what you have to do is get the spirit that takes liberty away from your neighbor out of you so that the spirit that sets you free can live in you. You see, the reason you've gone into bondage today, and a lot of people talk about different kinds and forms of bondage, is because a different spirit is occupying you. In Haggai it says, and the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judea, and the spirit of Joshua, and the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. Now, in Zechariah we go on, it says, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. You see, originally we were made in the image of God. We had this nature in us of giving life. And then we cut ourselves off, and then we had to go out like Cain and started taking life from others. And we were remade in a new image, a different image. And then Christ comes along He comes to serve, not to take. He comes to set you free, not to rule over you. And people say, well, we want the salvation of Christ. All we have to do is believe in Christ. But if you really believe in Christ, you will come to serve others. You will not come to be selfish. You will not come to rule over others. You will not demand or pray to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, a common theme you hear from us. But what happens when you start to become charitable and giving and gather together for the purpose of serving? It's automatically unseen to you. I mean, you don't have to do anything else other than that. You begin to open up your heart so that a different spirit will dwell in you, and you make your being, your corporeal and incorporeal hereditaments of personality, that's who you are. You make it an incompatible place for the spirit of selfishness, the spirit of self-righteousness. And you begin to be remade in that image that you were meant to be. And you will actually have the power to do all those things that Christ said, all these things you shall do, and greater things than these you shall also do. But you have to start taking those steps of coming together to serve one another. You have to come together to serve one another, because it begins to change you, the same as the society has been changed by the spirit of we come together to take from our neighbors so that we can be secure. Each of these spirits change you. They change the way in which you will act and react in life. In Matthew 3:16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens opened up unto him, and he saw a spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. And it goes on in Matthew 10:24, it is not ye that speak, but the spirit of your fathers which speaketh in you. He was talking about those who were doing wicked things. He talks about, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God cometh unto you. But Jesus also talked about, if he casts out these evil spirits, but you don't change, they'll just come back and they'll be worse than they were before. And whether you want to believe in actual spiritual entities or not, you can see, use these metaphors to say that I can see that, you know, the devil is working in that guy. Evil is working in that guy. That guy is entertaining evil. That guy is communing with evil. And of course, we worry about the catchphrases of the familiar spirits, but the familiar spirit you see operating in them. And of course, sometimes they're very good at cloaking that. But it doesn't really matter what they're doing. It matters what you're doing. And so you have to turn around and go another way, operate another way. And it has to be that virtuous way of service to others, sacrifice for others. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. And again, bruised, why bruised? Injured, traumatized, to free you from that traumatization, to free you from that trauma and that bruising, so that you may be free souls under God. It requires you to forgive others so that you may be forgiven. It requires that you give to others so that you may be given too, so that you make your house, your spirit, your body, your liver, your kidney. This will bring healing. If you make these things part of the temple and the pillars of the temple of the Holy Spirit of righteousness. You cannot obtain freedom simply by wanting to be free. You must want to free others. Set them free. Not you have been brought into bondage because you are willing to have your brothers be put into bondage. You cannot be free of disease, of fear, of anxiety, until you want to free others from that. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. Several places in the Bible, it talks about people having infirmities, using their money and going to doctors and everything, and they could never find a healing. But in an instant, they were healed by a spirit that dwelled in Christ, because they would receive that spirit. And he charged nothing for it. That's real. That can happen to you and for you today. But you have to really turn around. You have to change so that you have a place in you for that spirit of Christ. In other words, there has to be a place in you for service to others. There has to be a place in you for forgiveness. Even if someone pounds a nail into your hand, you still have to forgive them. Be ready to forgive them. If you do that, a different spirit, spirit of truth, even the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, this is John 14:17, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. But not if you are still entertaining the spirits of the world. In other words, the idea of coveting your neighbor's goods, and taking from your neighbor, and ruling over your neighbor, and making your neighbor do this or that. You have to set that aside and let that go, so that the spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, you can receive. And then you will begin to see more things. I mean, shows that talk about freedom and liberty, if you do not implement this principle in your life, you will not be comforted. In John 15:26, it says, but when the Comforter is come, when I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You will begin to see things that you could not see before. We write about them in books, and we sell the books, but we actually give them away. You can actually download them all at hisholychurch.org for free. Although I give them away too. I gave one away today. Howbeit, when he is the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak himself, but whosoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And things to come are great. There are great things coming. There's no reason to be afraid. But there are bad things coming too, and there could be a reason to be afraid if you're not doing what Christ is saying, forgiving one another, providing for one another, casting your bread upon the waters with nothing but the hope that it might come back to you. So we always come back to that theme, because it's such a primary theme to setting you free. You cannot be free until you do that. You no matter if you want to claim the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Bill of Rights in England or whatever, or in Australia, it doesn't make any difference. If you will not take these steps to be the government of God in righteousness, caring for one another in righteousness, you cannot be free. You will not be free. It will just get worse and worse and worse for you. Somebody wrote this week, and they talked about the government is now referring to Social Security check as a federal benefit payment. And he writes here, this isn't a benefit. It's an earned income. No. It's not. It's a benefit. There's no income. And he goes on to write, not only did we all contribute to Social Security, but our employers did too. But it's not an income. They contributed to Social Security, which is a common fund. And it's actually in common with all the other funds of the government. So therefore, it's in common with all the other debts of the government. He talks about it being a total of 15% of our income before taxes. If you average $30,000 per year over your working life, that's close to $180,000 invested in Social Security. This is total hogwash. This is absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. We just had an article going kind of viral, I guess. I didn't really think it was all that viral, but they kept saying it was. I think viral is like 100 million people reading it. But by Google standards, I guess it is equivalent to going viral. And it's the article is Not So Secure Socialism. And if you want to really see it go viral, because in it now on that webpage, there is answers to the problems that everybody is now facing. But if you really want to see it go viral, you can find it at His Holy Church. You go to Facebook. And, I don't even know if I have a link to that on my website. I'll have to, somebody had to remind me to check that and see if you can actually link to that on our website. But if you go to facebook.com/His Holy Church, all one word, there's a website there. And, it's a Facebook site. And I would recommend that everybody sign up for it. And if you get notices from there of articles, what you do is you like them and you share them with other people. And we can start getting this message out to go viral in a real big way. And then we can find all those lost sheep of Christ who really have the Spirit of Christ living in them, or at least they're making room in their place, in their hearts for Christ. And we can get those people to start working together to be exactly what the early church was at the time of Christ. And, you read the article on newsoftheviews.com. That's where it originally came out. But we also have it on our website. And on our website, we have some audios that go along with it, as well as a few other footnotes and stuff that you don't find on the other site. But the important thing is that if you go to His Holy Church at Facebook and you sign up, when we have an article go out that actually gives you answers and shows you solutions, you can share it, and then some of those people will share it, and some of those people will share it, and we can actually begin that viral process. And then we have a network of people that are actually getting together and actually taking care of one another. Not as much as they should, but they're beginning to learn. It's something that we have lost. It's something that was very common in America at one time. At the time of the American Revolution, it was very common. It was a different kind of people there. Now, we still have those people here in America, but we have a lot of other people in America that have a different spirit, a spirit of selfishness, a spirit of you come to serve me, the spirit of covetousness, coveting your goods and want you to take care of them. And they are more numerous, and they are bankrupting the nation. You've been a part of that, but maybe in you, because you're listening on this program, maybe you want to be a part of Christ's kingdom, because the system that they have created for themselves is going to fail. It's not only going to be oppressive, it's going to fail. And what you have depended on is going to be a leaky, rotten hole boat. It's going to take you down with it. It's an interesting story of a guy who was living in his house, just sleeping in his home, and the floor caved in, and he fell down a sinkhole that's like 100 feet deep, and he disappeared. His brother tried to go down and save him, but they couldn't even find him. It's like, what in the world was that? I mean, the house is still sitting there, but one part of, once you kind of tap on the floor when that kind of happens, I don't even know what that was. It's amazing. But the fact is, the whole world is facing a sinkhole, the fiscal cliff and all that. You need to start finding those other people of righteousness. You need to start coming together. You need to hone your own skills of righteousness so that you become a righteous tree with the Spirit of Christ living in you, where you come together not because it makes you feel good at church, but you come together with the intention of serving one another. That's going to create a different kind of community. It's going to create a different kind of result. It's going to create a different kind of community in which a different kind of spirit lives, and a spirit that bears fruit and gives life. And that's what you want. You want that. You want to seek that. And that's seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And right now, you can start slow, steps, learn, find out who to trust in the network. But gather together in actual little groups. You want small groups so you can keep track, but you want those small groups linked with other groups. And with that, with those people that come, some will come with not so pure a spirit. But the more, wherever two or more gather together in that spirit of righteousness, tending to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. That's what Christ said. People say, oh, well, Christ, that's all religious. I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in government. Christ was preaching government, righteous government. That's why he says, seek the kingdom, that's government, of God. What is the kingdom of God? That's where you're ruled by God, not by men. And God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? law, judgment, mercy, and faith. So when you're seeking that, you're going to have to find other people who want to seek that. Most people just want to know what's on TV, you know, what's in the fridge. They think that by voting for some political leader, they're going to change the world. You're not going to change the world. The world will change, but you're not going to change it. Not by voting a different leader. You have to change in your spirit. And some of you want to change in your spirit. Some of you want to give life. Some of you want, I mean, it's just in your nature to do right. But let's take this to the next level of righteousness, where it goes not only in your family, but in your community. And in communities connected all across the country, all around the world, where we are seeking to be righteous with one another, not slothful, not selfish. And it will begin to make a home in you for a different spirit. And that spirit will grow. And the other spirits of selfishness and anger and fear and anxiety that bring disease will not have a place in you. And no matter what happens around you, no matter what buttons people try to push, you will remain content. And you will remain in life. And you will continue to grow. And you will continue to give life and have life more abundant. No greater love has a man have than he lay down his life for his fellow man. And then he says, Jesus says, give up your life so that you may have life more abundant. Forgive so that you may be forgiven. Give so that you may be given unto. Over and over again, we see these same principles repeated and repeated and repeated. Throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end, no different. But we have to take those steps ourselves. And then we will be a part of a Social Security system that will not fail. We will be a part of a Social Security system that is secure. It will be hard at times, but it will be righteous, and it will bear its own fruit, and we will eat of that fruit, eat of the table of the Lord. We will eat of the, I've been talking about this pretty regularly, what we talk about is the bridal feast, you know, everybody was invited who should come, all the churches, you know, who claim Christ, they should come, but no, they just want to, they're happy with the benefits of the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. They don't want to actually do what Christ said. They just want to believe. Just like the Pharisees wanted to believe that they believed in Moses and God. And Christ said, no, you don't. You don't even know him. If you did, you would know me. But you don't know me. And what was Christ saying? You got to stop, the same as John the Baptist, stop coveting your neighbor's goods and taking from your neighbor by force. But start. If you have two coats, your neighbor has none, share. Start living by faith, hope, and charity. This is what John was saying. This is what Jesus was saying. Love thy neighbor as thyself. If you don't start doing that, and you stay remaining on the road to socialism, or farther into socialism, you will become a habitation of evil. You will become like the Soviet Union, putting to death millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people. This is all taking place in socialist nations because a certain spirit dwells well there. And we need to turn away from that. But we're at the end of another program. And so we'll have to finish this some other time. Until then, may peace be upon your house. May God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.